This morning I want to share with you a scripture reading from Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth more than fine rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings, the strength, and the power of your word. May they reach us deeply this morning to encourage us, to draw us ever closer to you. In the name of our precious Savior Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, happy Mother's Day. I hope you enjoy your day. Being a mother can be a challenge. So can being a father. But today's Mother's Day, so we'll stick with that. Yeah, motherhood can be a challenge, but there's also tremendous rewards, right? Tremendous blessings. One young mother, busy at home, busy with job, three young children to raise, listened regularly to Christian radio for that extra resource of strength and encouragement just to get by day to day, that often needed spark. And one day, she had it on, and the program was talking about families and children in particular, and how children are God's rewards to parents. Well, a few days later, your brotherly, sisterly love gave way to brotherly, sisterly arguing and fighting and bickering and pushing and shoving, and you know, mom at the end of her rope at that moment, cut it out right now. Or I'm going to send you to your room so you can cool down. And immediately the youngest child piped up, "Now, remember, Mom, we're your rewards." Yes, our children are our rewards, but that doesn't mean they're not a handful. Thought one mother, if all this talk about evolution is so true, then how come mothers only still have two hands? Well, actually, thoughts of family, and especially of wives and mothers on a day like today, take me back a few years to a minister's fellowship in which I regularly participated. We would meet together, and sometimes we'd have some business to talk about between the churches, maybe planning some group activities and ministries and stuff like that, or just sitting around talking and sharing what the Lord's been doing in our lives. And I recall one of the members of this fellowship remarking about his Bible reading in Proverbs, had been in Proverbs, which he had just finished. Of course, the last few verses in Proverbs are those that I just read. This colleague in ministry surprised the rest of us by saying that he really didn't care for those verses. His reason, the best I can recapture in my own thinking, is had something to do with maybe a woman being placed in a narrow role, sort of this domestic duty type of thing. Maybe he was equating it to some of the, I guess you could call it, stereotypical households of the 1950s portrayed in, you know, television and such. But that was sort of his thinking. Now, you might think that this colleague of ours was maybe one of the younger pastors recently out of school, but that wasn't the case. He was retired from pastoral and denominational service. He was well respected by those who knew him and devoted in his service to the Lord, yet he had this particular view on these scriptures. Well, not long after hearing his thoughts on these verses, I had the occasion to use them in a worship service I was planning as some of the responsive reading. So I was typing the words out to get ready to put on the screen and and everything. And as I typed the words out, my colleague's comments came back to me. And as they did, I compared what he said and what he thought about these scriptures with what the scriptures say. As I spent a little more time in reflection about the whole matter, this is the thought about these Proverbs verses that leapt into my mind. Wow! What an honor it would be for any woman I can think of to have these verses apply to her. I don't see anything in any of these verses that are demeaning or critically negative in any way. In fact, I'm sort of jealous. There's nothing in the scriptures about a husband of noble character. What an honor to be spoken of in this way. That's what I thought anyway. So you can see that I disagreed with my colleague on this one. In fact, I think that these verses go a long way to reminding us what impact we can have in repairing the damage to the world caused by Satan and his sinful followers. And even though this impact should be the result of the noble character of all believers, like I said, today's Mother's Day, so the focus this morning is on the wife and mother of noble character. Think of some of the high-profile relationship disasters that have popped up in the news. And they seem to be ongoing. Now, in all honesty, I don't know most of the names that show up on the entertainment news headlines. Sometimes when we're visiting with my son or daughter or both together, and they're talking about shows and movies they've watched and this name and that name, and their dad and mom are sitting there looking deer in the headlight faces, have no idea. I might have even seen the movie, but the names of the actors just, there's all these high-profile domestic cases going on, divorces and such like that. And if you get down to not very deep as to why they're, what the problem is, a lot of the crises involve infidelity. Now, here's a newsflash for them. The Bible has a solution for that. Don't do it. Don't engage in extramarital affairs, and you won't have that problem in your marriage. I won't go any further down that trail this morning, but the ones who need to hear it aren't listening to me anyway. And besides, broken marital and parental relationships are not reserved for just the rich and famous, unfortunately. A case with a bit of dramatic twist occurred back in 2010. An incident that became known as the runaway mom captured a lot of attention. Tiffany Tan failed to return from a shopping trip. And because early indications pointed to some kind of foul play, a nationwide hunt was triggered. Turns out, though, that she ran away with a so-called boyfriend, Trey Hutcherson, also married. Quite a mess, but one could have easily avoided it all had she chosen to remain a faithful wife and mother, and he a faithful husband and father. The point is that we can all learn valuable lessons from these Proverbs 31 verses about being faithful and faith-filled, husband, wife, father, mother, but being a faithful and faith-filled wife and mother. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Now, before we jump to conclusions that this does sound like it sets the stage for some kind of domestic subservience, we need to consider the context in which it was written. It was not unusual in that time period for the husbands to secure family valuables away from his wife. Whatever the reason, but, you know, part of history, whatever the reason, it was not unusual for the wife to squander valuable possessions. Maybe it was a lack of knowledge about value, what it meant. Maybe it was easy for her to, or maybe she wanted to do something mean to her husband. Maybe it was easy for her to be duped by a convincing salesman or a conniving salesman. I don't know, but whatever the reason, that's the context in which these verses were written, and it caused a lot of distrust between married couples. In stark contrast to these cultural norms of that day, the wife of a noble character is honored. She is worth more than whatever possessions the family might have. She is worth more than rubies. And you know, a ruby is a rare, precious gem with colors that can range from pink to deep red. And like diamonds, they're graded and have variations in their clarity, their color, their brightness, their quality. Some of the finer grades of rubies can start at more than $1,000 for less than a carat. They're valuable. And God tells us that a wife of noble character is worth far more than these precious gems. The faithful mother is trustworthy. Now jump to Proverbs 31, 27, verse 27. We read, "She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness." This adequately sums up the preceding verses 13 through 26. As we read all of those verses, we know that this faithful mother is far from idle. It can wear us out just reading them. Don't be discouraged by the list of skills for which this woman is being praised. The point's not whether any one person is good at all of these things. The point is whether any of the skills that any person has developed are seen with the substance and purpose that God has placed in them. Is accomplishing whatever task set before us done with the purpose for which God has brought it? Paul writes in Colossians 3:17, "And whatever you do, whether in word, whether in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." The skills listed throughout Proverbs 31 represent stewardship, specifically the stewardship of a household. As it says, she watches over the affairs of her household. Stewardship over a household. The faithful mother is established as a steward over the entire household. Now, today's world may not hold that in great esteem, but it was crucial in the biblical world. Remember in Genesis, the account of Joseph, who was sold by his brothers into slavery, ended up in an Egyptian official's household, Potiphar, the household of Potiphar. Because of Joseph's faithful response to this situation, faithful service to Potiphar as a means of being faithful in service to God, Genesis 39:4 tells us that Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendants. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. Being in charge of a household is nothing to scoff at. It is important, and wives and mothers, as well as husbands and fathers, need to keep that in perspective. God has placed us as stewards over His creation. Families are an important and vital part of His creation. Many blessings from God are derived from the proper attitude of stewardship. The faithful mother is God's steward. Now, among all these characteristics listed in Proverbs 31, verse 20 really stands out to me. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. This is not a show. She is not like the hypocrites whom Jesus warned about in Matthew 6:1-4. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. The faithful mother is generous and genuine. As a result of this characteristic, and all of these characteristics, her children witness and learn about real compassion. Acts of compassion are an important part of stewardship. We learn this from various sources. But where better than from a faithful mother? These are important characteristics of a mother's love for God and for her family. No woman has any reason to have any doubts about her self-esteem when she is engaged in acts of compassion in the name of Christ. That is the call and privilege of the faithful mother. And verse 28 gives us this testimony: her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Now, sometimes we wonder when this will ever happen. Many of us know that as our children grow, they want to try some things on their own, and we as parents recognize that some of the things they want to try aren't all that fitting or good for them. There will always be those conflicts and struggles, but they are not the end. Proverbs also reminds us, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. It sometimes takes forever for them to get that old, but testimonies tell us that it happens. As the young child reminded his mother, now remember, Mom, we're your reward. One of the most noble characteristics, far more valuable than rubies, is that of a mother praying for her children and training them in the way they should go. The fruit that has grown from this characteristic of a faithful mother has been tremendous over the ages. Testimonies from numerous servants of God demonstrate how their mother's faith and prayers brought them into God's saving grace, or drew them back from a wayward path, or kept them focused on God. As It's a woman named Anthusa who lived from about 330 to 374 AD. Widowed at the young age of 20, she's remembered for her influence in the life of her son, John Chrysostom, who grew to be one of the greatest preachers and leaders of the 4th century church. We might think of him as the Billy Graham of the 4th century, but the reality is that Billy Graham was the John Chrysostom of the 20th and 21st centuries. Records from the period tell us that Anthusa was cultured and attractive. She came from a wealthy family, yet she chose not to remarry after her husband's death and chose to devote herself to the raising of her son and daughter. Among his memoirs, Chrysostom wrote that his mother not only taught her children to know and to love the teachings of the Bible, but also that her very life was a model of that biblical teaching. A student of law, rhetoric, and the scriptures, Chrysostom was ordained into the ministry. And because of his own powerful preaching and Christian service, he eventually became Bishop of Constantinople, which was the center of both the church and the government at the time, an important and a prestigious position. A zealous missionary himself, he inspired large numbers of other Christians to serve as missionaries who carried the saving message of the gospel into all kinds of pagan cultures throughout Europe in that time period and beyond. Even with all of the prestige afforded him by his position in the church as Bishop of Constantinople, Chrysostom remained humble and always emphasized that a crucial factor of effective evangelism is for Christians to be living examples of Christ-centeredness, a trait he learned throughout his life from his mother. And underscoring all of the inspiring testimonies from history, such as that about Anthusa and her son, John Chrysostom, is a simple poem written a few years ago by a girl named Ellie, an 8-year-old, which was printed in a local newspaper in one of the communities that I lived. Mothers are a treat from up above. They shower you with lots of love, teaching you always what to say, but most importantly, how to pray. The faithful mother is faithful in her devotion to God and to her family. As I mentioned earlier, I was caught off guard by my colleague's somewhat disparaging remarks about Proverbs 31. As I also mentioned earlier, a more reflective inspection of these verses led me to a very different conclusion. And it's not only the description of the wife of noble character contained in these verses that lead me to that conclusion, but it's the very location in the Bible where these verses are placed. Consider the entirety of Proverbs and the wisdom it contains. In fact, Proverbs does not only contain wisdom, it describes wisdom. It brings wisdom alive. It's about wisdom. Proverbs begins with a very clear purpose statement. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Of all of the topics that could have been chosen to become the conclusion of the entire book of Proverbs, this entire collection about primarily wisdom, gaining wisdom from God, the source of wisdom, practicing wisdom, applying it to our lives, discerning right from wrong, foolishness from wisdom. Of all of the topics that could have been chosen to wrap this book up, the attributes of a wife of noble character were selected for this role. I'm convinced that this is not random or happen chance, but deliberately placed there by God in order to emphasize the importance of family, wife, and mother. And in addition to the wisdom and the truth that we receive from the Old Testament Scripture, we have the advantage of understanding them in the framework and the context of the New Covenant. Because of the saving grace offered us by God through Jesus Christ, we are privileged to receive the Old Testament Scriptures in the greater fullness that they were intended. From Galatians 5, 22 and 23, Paul writes, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Ultimately, striving to achieve noble characteristics of any kind outside of the saving grace of Jesus is prone to failure, because our human intentions, no matter how earnest, are built on a foundation that does not last. When we humble ourselves, man, woman, teen, younger child, and accept the divine offer of salvation, we receive the Holy Spirit who strengthens us in every way to accomplish the divine mission that God sets before us. At the Last Supper, Jesus declared to his apostles, "Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Those who enter into a faithful relationship with Jesus Christ receive the counselor, the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit which guides us and leads us into that foundation upon which to build lives of noble characters, characteristics. As Paul continued in his letter to the Galatians, "Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other." So this morning, the question arises, where are you with your journey with God? Do you need to begin by saying yes to His merciful invitation of forgiveness to sin? To give your life to Him and in turn allow Him to strengthen and encourage you with the Holy Spirit? To take those steps into a life of noble character? There's no greater Mother's Day gift to be found than to say yes to the saving grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. Or have you been striving on your own, forgetting about His great strength that you've been given? No matter your need, salvation, renewal, support, God invites you to come to share your need at this altar. God's invitation to come as you are is always open, but especially now, as we stand to sing our closing hymn, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way." That's the invitation that God gives us. We're invited to let Him have His way in our lives. If there's anything you need to bring to His altar this morning, please come. Stand and sing.